Blog Talk Radio.
Even though we live with them. Number two, we may not even like them a lot.
because we're getting to see the real us. You know, there are people who don't quite understand when things start going haywire in the world that there is a God. It's not, he's not a mystery God, but he's here and he's on scene and he knows, hey, what are y'all doing? He sends us warning. He sends us warning. He sends us warners, and we don't listen. So, okay, you know, like your children, when they don't listen, what do? You give them a little spanking, and you send them to their room. So we've all been sent to our rooms. We're all in our homes on timeout. And because we have mistreated the planet that God has blessed us with, we won't listen, and we're doing crazy stuff. So the planet has started to rebel and show us, okay, well, you know, I'll just, you know, with our last permission, there'll be a tornado, an earthquake. And now we've got something that we can't even see that is attacking humanity. This thing has spread far and wide. There's a lot of theories about where it came from, how it originated. But the point is, it's here. And if we don't pay attention and we don't submit to the things that are going to keep us healthy, we're going to die. There's no in-between on this one. We've been asked to stay in our home. Many of us are hard-headed, you know. So, yeah, we'll stay in our home for a few minutes, but then we want to run out and we want to, you know, do stuff that just doesn't make sense. So we've been asked to stay in your house. Please stay in your house. Go out only for what's necessary. A bag of potato chips is not necessary, okay? Ice cream is not necessary. Make sure when you go to these stores, when you venture out, you get as many things as you possibly need, not want, and don't try to make sure that you exercise discipline in what you eat, because this stuff may have to last you until June now, the people are saying. So, you know, be mindful of how we act. Now, if you've never fasted before, this is the time to start doing it, because you need to condition your body that you don't have to eat three meals a day. You don't have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us as early as 1965, he put out a book, How to Eat to Live. He recommended you eat one meal every 24 hours. Now, some of you who will not listen to a black man tell you something, well, white people have now come out, and they gave it a fancy name, which was intermittent fasting, intermittent eating. So they're telling you, oh, you should eat every 12 hours. Okay, so they don't want to, you know, go and admit, you know, this black man from America was born in Georgia, in Sandersville, Georgia, and only had a third-grade education, knew what he's talking about, and that he actually got his information from the man on high. He got his information from Masfar Muhammad. So I say that to say, well, please be careful, okay? Do not listen, especially people in New York, do not defy whatever curfew these people put on you. I'm going to say that again. Do not. Now, I don't remember how many of you lived in New York all your life, but all of a sudden, around the late 90s, they took out all of those medians. They used to be planters in the middle of 7th Avenue and these different wide avenues, and they took them out, and they fortified those streets, concrete so many inches deep, so that tanks could roll down those streets without the streets collapsing. So there are tanks in New York. There are tanks in Georgia. So do not be foolish. You want to live through this. So make sure that you don't, you know, I'm going out anyway. Okay, look, if the curfew's at 10 o'clock, have yourself in the house at 10 o'clock. What you doing out there anyway? There's nothing that you can do out there. Listen, you got our people who have survived all of this madness that happened to us the whole time that we were in slavery and through Jim Crow and all. We have always known how to entertain ourselves and to have fun among ourselves. So what happens? Oh, you got Erykah Badu doing a concert from her bedroom. You got D-Nice. I think that's his name. I'm not so keen up on rappers, but he had a million people in their houses jamming with him. So let's, you know, let's continue to be innovative like that. But stay inside. This is not, you do not want to find out that you're sick because you were hard-headed. You know, if you can prevent it, do that. You can prevent it by staying away from people you don't know or you don't know where they've been. You got to wash your hands. You got to take off your shoes. See, now Elijah Muhammad told us, when you come in the house, take your shoes off because you're not spreading germs. And today you might need to leave them outside and outside the apartment door for a few minutes until you get a chance to spray them down, wipe them off, come in and clean your hands thoroughly. Make sure whatever packages you bring in from the stores and whatnot, you clean those off too because a lot of people have been touching them. Clean those off. Wipe them down with whatever disinfectant wipes you have. Wear a mask. Wear a mask when you're outside because you don't know whose droplets you may be walking into. They may have sneezed and moved on, and you walk right into it. It's still there. So take precautions. Take precautions. There was a doctor when SARS or avian flu, one of those came out, and before they even infected anybody, the World Health Organization named it a pandemic. So this doctor got on radio, and he said, listen, take salt water, Q-tips, swab out your nose as when you come in, before you go out, when you wake up. Just keep your nasal passages swabbed out. And what it will do is going to take whatever's up in your nasal passages down into your throat. You use the rest of the salt water. You gargle it out and spit it out and do that several times and keep it clear. The other thing they're saying about this virus, it does not like warm liquids. So drink plenty of tea. Drink coffee if you like that. Drink soups. Now, I don't care what anybody says, Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Whenever I had a flu, whenever my children had some kind of, yeah, that's what they had. They drank the Campbell's chicken noodle soup. The other thing, if you're feeling nauseous, if you're feeling like you've got some kind of stomach virus, get some room temperature Coca-Cola. Get the big bottle off the shelf. Make sure it's not cold. And if it'll clean a battery and take the rust off a battery, a car battery, trust me, whatever's down in there is going to die. So you can do that if you find that you're feeling you're throwing up and stuff like that. If you get a temperature, everybody should have a thermometer in your house. You can venture out and go get one of those if you don't have anything. Make sure you get a thermometer. If you're running a temperature, don't right away take Tylenol and Advil and stuff like that because they said this virus likes those kind of things. So if you have some aspirin and your stomach can tolerate it, if you have to take a half of one, but one of the very good sisters that we know that's in the medical field was saying, if the temperature is not over 103, let your body start fighting because it's your body that's fighting whatever is in there, and if you stop it from fighting it, then you're giving it way to keep on going. So make sure that you take things that will keep your body give your body a chance to fight. So you want to give your body a chance to fight back with its own antibodies. Okay, but if your temperature is over 103, call ahead and then go to the doctor. Have them check you out and find out what you got. Okay, if you have this, the difference between a flu, a cold, and this thing is when you sneeze, if you have clear stuff to come out of your nose, that's allergies. If you've got this thing, it's going to make you feel like you're drowning. It's going to clog up your trachea. The mucus is going to get so thick that it won't come up, and the medicine can't get down. So you have to keep your passages clear. If you're drinking hot stuff, whatever is in your nasal area will go down into the stomach, and the stomach acid will take care of business. Okay? But do not play with this. Don't go out here thinking that, you know, there's some mystery God and God loves me and he's going to take care of me but I'm going to be rebellious. No. We were taught as Muslims that we have to obey. You have to obey the laws. You have to obey that which are the laws of nature, especially. You can't say, well, I'm just going to go. I don't feel good, but I'm going out here anyway. and I'm going to do this, that. No, come on. Your body is telling you something, and we need to learn to tune in and listen to it. So don't be foolish. Don't be foolish because your family needs you. Now, there are people who are insane out here. Some of them are in government, and they're talking crazy. I mean, some dude in Texas, the governor, whomever, talking about, well, you know, grandparents should want to go ahead and die for their – no, what? No. No, that doesn't make any sense. God gave each of us a life, and when he pleases, he will help us move on off the planet. But how are you going to sit here and tell people that they, because they are grandparents, they should want to die so that their grandchildren can live? That makes no sense. And he was talking from an economic point of view, that we shouldn't have to spend money on ventilators and resuscitate people who are old. Okay, so be careful. If you have family that's elderly, do not allow them to go into these hospitals by themselves, or, you know, because you need to be there and intervene on their behalf, because some of these people have some very strange ideas right about now about who should live and who should not. They can't play God. They don't have the right to, so don't allow them, don't give them the license to do that. Stand up for your family members. If you are well right now, make sure you boost your immune system. Okay, vitamin C. I'm a proponent of cat's claw. Cat's claw is an herb. I know pregnant women and women that are nursing can't take it, but the rest of you should be able to. Cat's claw is a liquid. You put a drop, about a half a drop of full, in some warm water. You drink it, and it'll knock out stuff. There's been people around us over the years who have been down with whatever flu virus, whatever, for weeks, and they were able to take the cat's claw and bounce back. So now I don't know about this virus. It's supposedly a mutated, quote unquote, mutated one that's very vicious. But get yourself some cat's claw, get yourself some black seed tablets, and take them. And if you like the taste, or you can stand the taste, you can get it in liquid form and put it on some bread or put it in some water and drink it. Your body, your immune system up. Now, you need to rest, people. We've all been arrested. We're all home. You feel tired, lay down. It's okay. You know, one of the things that we've discovered over the past week, all of these things that everybody was ripping and running about, not more important in your life, not more important than your loved ones. We've all been put on timeout because we've all been rebellious children, okay? We've been rebellious. I mean, we decided we knew more than God. We're running around talking about, well, I'm this and I'm that, and God put me in the wrong body. Excuse me, okay? The God said, okay, you know what? All y'all, go to your room and think about what you do. Just go to your room, sit down. So now you're at your home, you're with your family. The song said, it's time for thinking ahead. So how do you think ahead? Have you thought about what's going to happen when this is all over with? Are we really going to change how we've been, acting? Have we been rude to each other? Have we not shown each other love? Have we not cared for each other? Our children have not been being cared for. They've not been being reared. They've been neglected. We've been ripping and running so much trying to put them in colleges and this program and that program. Some of them we've tried to make them we've tried to make them fulfill all the dreams that we couldn't as children. So I wanted to be a ballerina, so I'm making my daughter take ballet, and I'm making my son play football. Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about all these things while you have time now, because you have time to talk to them. You got time to really look at them. And as a teacher, I am I'm laughing at the parents who are, they're having a fit because for the first time in a long time, they have to be in the house with their own children 24/7, and they don't know what to do. They're like, oh, my God, this child doesn't listen. Okay, but this is what you send to school every day, and this is what we as teachers have to cope with. And I'm blessed. I only have 20, but some of y'all got 45 students. I don't know how y'all do it. Okay? We're not cognizant of what we're feeding our children, how that's making them react to other people. So we need to, all of that we need to be thinking about, thinking ahead. How are we going to come out of this? What are we going to do that we're here together? There are games y'all can make up and play. You know, there's exercise. Do what all the things that you wanted to do and never had, quote, unquote, never had time to do. You got time to do these things now. Spend time with your children. Read with together. And don't just plop them in front of the computer or a television all day. No, get to know your children. Find out where they want, what they want to do with their lives. Talk to them. And don't listen to them. Listen to them. Put the phone down. Put the phone down. And put it away for a while and listen to your children. Ration yourself to just a couple of hours a day talking to your, you know, checking on people. But stay off the phone. Get to know your children. Get to know your children. You know, what, you know, because we got to ask ourselves, what are we raising? You see how your children act in the street. How many of you have the courage to say anything to the children that you're walking by that are acting other than themselves? And I say other than themselves because we were told by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we are righteous Muslims by nature. We are people who want to obey God by nature. So our rebelliousness comes out of our pain, our trauma, some of it that's in our DNA, and we're still reacting to. We got to, you know, so all of that we have to work with. And you have time now. So take the time. Work with it. Work with it. Talk to your children. Teach them something. Okay? So if you have grandparents around you, right now is the time to go get the information. Get tape recorders. Once you got phones, turn your phone on, put it on record, and ask questions. Some of it they may not want to remember. Don't get upset with them. They're like, I don't want to talk about that. Okay? But find out some of the pleasant things that happen. Because some of the things that happen to our people are so horrendous that they don't want to even think about it. You know, my aunt, you know, they're like, we don't want to talk about that old-timey stuff, okay? When Toni Morrison was putting together the novel Beloved, she realized that nobody had told the story of the Middle Passage because nobody wanted to remember it. It was just that awful. They did not want to think about it. There was no song. There was no poem. There was nobody talked about it. But it is still affecting us through our DNA, and it's been passed down. That trauma has not been arrested yet. So, but if you have grandparents around you, if you have older aunts, uncles, talk to them. Fine, get as much information as you can of the family tree. Because this will help you understand some of the ways you and your children are acting. Because you're going to look at a child and say, somebody who's older said, that's George right there. Show him. Mm-hmm, damn. He done come back. There go George. And you're looking at them like, who's George? Well, find out what George is. And find out what George liked. And find out, is this truly a protege of George? Does he really act like that? Okay, so don't be afraid to talk to your elders and find out what is going on. What is going on? And treat them kindly. You know, I came up on my 69th birthday, and as it was approaching, I said, whoa, I got more life behind me than I got in front of me. Because I don't think I'm going to live for another 69 years. So, you know, with that knowledge, then this is what's going on with your grandmothers, your aunts, these older people. Find out. Let them talk. Sit down and have a session and just let grandma, aunties, uncle talk about what Harlem was like when they grew up or what South Carolina was like or do they remember who was their grandmother and where they came from and what they looked like. This is information that you need to pass on to the children. The children need this as part of their foundation so they can be strengthened in time of trouble. I was reading a book, and the young lady in the book, it's called Scarlet Sun, something like that. Anyway, I'll pull it out in a minute. But The Copper Sun, and I was reading, and the young girl that was kidnapped and brought over to America was from Ghana, and these people were going and snatching the Ghanaians because they knew how to grow rice. and they were brought into Charlestown, which is now Charleston. And so I was, my son and his wife are about, they're expecting in about 2 weeks, and she had a baby shower, and the DJ was playing music. But before that, I met a young, one of their guests who was from Ghana, and I was saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's a possibility that maybe some of my ancestors did come from Ghana, and I told, explained them what I read. And so the DJ put on some African music, and my children went dancing, and this guy said, yeah, man, it's in the DNA, man, I see it, I see it. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you may discover some things that are really wonderful if you when you talk to each other. Anyway, so talk to your old people, as they call them, old people. Make them well. Make them feel comfortable. You know, don't push them in a room and close the door like, oh, my gosh, she's getting on my nerves. No, these people suffered so you could be here. And they suffer some things that they have not told you, and you have no idea. So go talk to them and treat them well, okay? So, you know, the other thing people are dealing with is the fact that we're supposed to be getting some money, from the government. That's your money. Don't make it seem like it's a gift. It's not a gift. It's your money that they've been using and holding on to. And it's very puzzling to me that all of a sudden there's money, but there was no money when, you know, they kept saying there was no money for Social Security, there was no money for this, no, but now all of a sudden they've got all this money floating around. Okay, so with this money situation, don't let that fool you and make you think, well, that means that I now have to pay back this person that's in office and I have to vote for. No, stop. Just don't even go there with that stuff. Okay, so the money that you get, don't go and give it right back to for shoes and all that, because you realize right now, right, that your shoes and your cars and your this and your that don't mean nothing, because you really can't wear it anywhere, right? How many, you ain't wearing your shoes and your fancy clothes around the house. So what you are doing, though, God willing and inshallah, is that you are getting to know those people in your house and talking to them more and being with them and understanding, hey, I kind of like this person, or, ooh, I don't like the person you turned out to be. We got to work on that. It's okay if you feel that way, and if you see that this is a person that you really, we need to do some work, child. I don't like your attitude. I don't like what I see. I don't like how I have raised you, how your father and I have raised you, or how I have raised you. We got to tweak some things, and it's not a hard, it's not an awful thing to say that, because we're always about improving. We're always about improving. The more we live. It's always about getting better. We can always be better the next day. The next day we should not find ourselves being the same exact way we were yesterday, because then that's not growth, right? And so read. There's a whole bunch of books, I'm sure, that you have that you haven't bothered to read. Go get some books, read them. And if you don't have any, go to the New York Library is giving free e-books. I mean, you can go in and pull them up and for free, just read whatever you feel like. You know, there's great authors that you can be, and there's some books that, like I said last week, that might help you out of some of this and give you a better understanding of who we are and what we're all about. So, and understand that many of the fiction books are fiction books because had the author said them out loud and act like they was actual facts, they might not have gotten published. So they hide crucial information in in books, in fiction books. So one of the books I really recommend about if you want to deal with family, she has a book called Family. Her name is J. California Cooper. And Family is a good book. It's similar, very similar to Beloved. But The Wake of the Wind, I really suggest that everybody read it. The author, again's name is J. California Cooper. She passed away a few years back. It's a wonderful story, and it will give you a look into what it was like, our sojourn from our fictional show, Sojourn, from the north, from the south, or just what happened when we walked off those plantations. Another song, another book is Redemption Song, Bertrice Berry. Bertrice Berry, B-E-R-T-R-I-C-E, Berry. Redemption Song is a beautiful love story. Black people, two black people that you'll like. Sharon M. Draper, The Copper Sun, is another good book. I just read that one. An actual fact book about the Great Migration. It's the epic story of America's Great Migration. Okay, she called it America's Great Migration, but it was black people's migration. She follows three people all the way from them leaving the South until they passed away. So her name was Isabel Wilkerson, and this is an actual fact book. On the cover, there's a picture of Harlem. I think it's like 130 Fifth Street, because I've seen this building before, and there's people, you know, all out on the balconies, hanging out their windows. Interesting cover. Okay, another book on actual facts was Cane River by Lalita Tandy, and her book is, the Cane River book is about her mother's side of the family, and the Red River book is about her father's side of the family, and they're trying to survive from the banks of the Louisiana Cane River and what happened after the Civil War and, you know, how their family evolved or dissolved, whichever way you're looking at it. Another book is, that you can look, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. You can get that at NOI.org. There's three volumes. I warn you that you're going to probably have to put it down at some point in time because it's going to make you furious when you realize how many of us, especially those of us who lived in New York, were duped into thinking that, you know, we were told that the Jews were our cousins and that they had suffered the same way we had. Read those three books. There's a picture that was taken from that book that is floating around the internet, and it's a picture of a barge of cotton. If you can go on Facebook and find it, or go on YouTube and find it, this barge is about five stories high, meaning the height of a building in New York that's got five floors, and it's filled with cotton, and it's maybe about a half a block to a block long. This is the barge. And somebody had posted the other day how come they got all this money now and but they couldn't pay us reparations. And I posted that picture, and I said, they can't even pay us for the work we did for just this one boatload, one shipload of cotton. So they definitely can't pay us for 350 years of all of the labor that it took to put that cotton, to grow that cotton, to till the ground, to plant the seed, to take care of ground, to pick the cotton, to feed the cotton, all of that, yeah, and then bale it up to put it, yeah, no, they can't afford to pay for that labor. So when you hear people say crazy stuff like, you know, oh, black people in America, you never did nothing, okay, no, not true, you know. We have some of our foreign brothers who have been misled by those who raised them in the schools and the society that they were in, and they come here and they talk about the so-called American Negro, and they say we never did anything, but they don't know anything about Black Wall Street and all of the other towns. That's another book, Buried Beneath the Bitter Waters. That one deals specifically with the person only, I think, picked 100 of the towns that were totally destroyed by anybody and anybody that felt like it, you know. And it was always usually based on a lie. Somebody pointed their finger and said that a black man did something. The next thing you know, the whole, not only did they come to kill him, but they would burn down the whole town. So I heard somebody say, well, you know, we need to stop teasing Jose because Jose comes here with his family and he does this and he does that. Excuse me, Jose's family ain't never been lynched in America. Jose's family that just came from these little islands and we're, no, stop, y'all. Stop putting ourselves down. We have been and survived some of the worst trauma that any people on the planet have been through. And guess what? We're still here. Not only are we still here, we still excel. Every arena that we have been allowed to enter, we go straight to the top. We go straight to the top. We are, you know, anything. They let us in gymnastics, we're the best. Tennis, we're the best. Even rugby, which is a sport that is used, was done primarily by white boys, we come out, we're the best. So because we've been blessed, because we have never cursed God. We're starting to. That's why we're in timeout. But through the years, we've always kept our faith. And because we've had our faith and we've lived our faith and we've walked our faith and we know that the God has always blessed us, even in through all the tragedies, to come through as human beings. We've never turned into savage beasts. We've always had that human heart, and we still have it. So let's not lose it now. Just because we're locked in our homes, we're gonna make it better. We're gonna make our heart stronger by getting to know our families more. All right. So we need to do that. The other book. There's another book. Ta-Nehisi Coates did two books. One of them was Between the World and Me. You need to read that one because it'll give you some insight, again, from a male perspective of what it was like growing up as a young black man and trying to succeed despite everything that was coming at him. And the newest one he did is a novel, and it's called The Water Dancer. And it deals a lot with the Underground Railroad. Harriet Tubman is mentioned there. And for those of you who saw the movie Harriet, you can go and get her actual biography, which is called The Moses of Her People. And that book, the movie quoted a lot of what she had said in her book. Now, the one thing they did not do, because there was a great controversy. People were talking about, Harriet Tubman's master caught up with her, and the only person that got killed was a black man, blah, blah. Hold up. That never happened. That was straight-up fiction, because what did happen was that Harriet Tubman had been hit in the head by her master with a big piece of metal, and it crushed her skull in, and she was in and out of consciousness for, like, about 6 months. And every time she woke up, she would see white men in her room and her master trying to sell her. So Harriet Tubman kept praying, God, please change the master's heart, please change the master's heart. And one of them times that she woke up, she said, okay, you know what? This man ain't going to change. She said, kill him. Next day, master died. Okay, that's the true story of what happened to her and her master. So, her connection was very strong with the God, and we have many people like that. So be careful what you think, what you wish for. But anyway, so that's another book you can get. My good friend of mine, Nikki Grimes, wrote her memoirs, and it's called Ordinary Hazards. That's another book you can look into while you're home. You can read some books, you know, because you can't go outside and read. Also, all of the books by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mr. the Black Man, How to Eat to Live, 1 and 2, Our Savior Has Arrived, The Fall of America. You want to know what's going on? Read it, because he already talked about it in 1965, and everything he said is true. Okay? It's coming to pass. And some people, you know, we are people, we're very impatient. So we think because something didn't happen immediately that it's not going to happen. Oh, just like the old folks used to say, keep living, and you'll see that it comes to pass. And there's a book that most of you need to get hold of. It's called Closing the Gap. It was written by, it was conducted and compiled by Jibril Muhammad. Closing the Gap are the interviews of the heart, mind, and soul of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I need you to get hold of this book. Again, NOI.org, you can order it from finalcall.com. you will get to see the godness of this man. There's a lot of things that have been said about Minister Farrakhan that are not true. You need to, in reading this book, you will see how blessed he has been and the mind of this man. I mean, and the thing that makes it so incredible is that Brother Jibril never gave him the questions in advance. The questions, he didn't have them at all. And he would just ask him a question, and he would start talking, and he would record it and then compile it. And this is this book. I mean, and it's just awesome. He covers just about any subject you can think of, and they're all profound answers. None of them are frivolous, just, you know, answers. So those are some books that you can do and look at. Okay, now, if you're going to go on the Internet, please don't waste your time with a bunch of foolishness. There, I think the lady's name is, her last name is, I think her name is Leslie Gist. She's got a lot of information. She's shared a lot of our history, not fictional history, but what actual facts of what's happened to us in our sojourn here and how we've overcome. Now, I want to get to, again, research. You know, your reading should be research. It doesn't have to be tedious. Just read a few things every day and talk about them with your children and your spouse and whoever's in the house with you. Talk about these things. Come up with, oh, so what do you think about this? You know, and you'll be surprised when you talk to your children. You know, sometimes as parents, we wonder if all of the talking we do all day long, all year long, year in and year out, whether it even sinks in, you know. And if you've done a good job, if you've been on task, if you've tried to rear your children, which means to bring them up from a dead level and stand them up as upright human beings, you'll be surprised. They'll start saying things. You're like, oh, you were listening. Oh, okay. Praises to the Lord. Oh, praise God. You heard what I said. Oh, you were paying attention to what your daddy said. Okay, good. So don't give up on your children. Don't let your children become airheads, you know, sitting playing video games all day long. No, engage each other. Exercise together, dance together. You know, our spirit has never been totally broken, and I think that is one of the things that makes our enemies so upset is that they have not been able to break us. They have not been able to convince us that we are no different than a chair or a table or a horse or a dog. We have always been able to tap into the God spirit and bring it out, because we have a spirit, because within us, our innate, in our DNA, we know we are supposed to be free. Meaning what? Free to obey God and operate within his universe and appreciate what he's blessed us with, and not to be selfish and to share what it is he gives us. So we need to be about that, and this is the time to do it. You know, hey, call up your, you know, get all your family together. We have a group meet, you know, we talk to each other. Sometimes, I turn the notification off because I'll be all day long. But there's days when I click it on, and it's like 9, 10, 15, 25. I'm like, what are they talking about? And usually it's something that one of them started, and it just keeps going on, and usually it's very comical. And it helps to lift the spirits if you're having a hard day. So if you have GroupMe, download it, and you could be you and your family, and y'all talk to each other about different things. You know, if somebody's troubled, they get on, and everybody lifts their spirits. You know, if there's something that we all need to pay attention to and get accomplished, same thing. So get your family a GroupMe. I know the Internet is going, it will probably crash at some point in time. So you need to have some walkie-talkies in your house, if you can find it. If you have time, if you can find them, we should have had these things all in our homes. If you don't, you can get out and get some. Make sure you have some batteries. Make sure you have flashlights, just in case. We don't know. Candles, flashlights. Make sure you have enough food for your family, and make sure you know how to not eat if you can, if you have to. Okay? Some of us, I've never fasted in our life. Well, this is a good time to start practicing. You know, maybe don't eat until 12 o'clock. Maybe don't eat from 12 to 5. But start limiting the amount of food that you need in your body. Get your body used to not having to eat constantly, constantly, constantly. Now, the Muslims, we're going to get a little help because April 23rd, Ramadan starts. So we got a whole month of fasting. This is going to be interesting. So, you know, make sure you have plenty of water in your home. If you can't, if your body can survive without food longer than it can survive without water. Make sure you stay hydrated. Again, make sure you wash your hands. Make sure you keep your nostrils clean. Make sure you drink a lot of warm liquids. If you feel your throat beginning to tickle, gargle, make sure you can use salt water. You can use other things, but make sure you use, you know, you use peroxide to just kind of, you know, get the initial whatever out of there. But if you get a fever over up from 103 up, you got to go to the hospital. But you got to call first because you don't want to make just a normal cold into something that it's not. So if you get a fever, it's a low-grade fever, you know, take precautions. You can get yourself in a bathtub of cool water, warm water, and then just start making it colder so that you can start bringing that temperature down. They're saying don't take the ibuprofen or the Advil, any of that, because this speeds up the disease. So, you know, listen to, you know, go on and check out these different medical. Now, don't start taking some stuff that somebody just threw together talking about, you know, because somebody died listening to, you know who, and they took some medicine that was from Larry and they died. Don't listen to everybody's advice. Everybody's not a doctor. Everybody's not, even some of the doctors don't know what they're talking about. Don't let people start making you take stuff that you never heard of, okay? because you'll die. You know, let's be for real. Let's pay attention. But make sure you drink warm liquids. They're saying warm liquids, soups, you know. Make sure you have food in your house, not junk. Make sure you have soups. Make sure you have canned vegetables. If you have a freezer, make sure you have frozen things in there that you can eat. But you should have already stockpiled. Navy beans, vegetarian beans. Beans always are good. Vegetables. You know, salmon. Packets of. We don't eat tuna, but if you're going to eat tuna, that's fine. But make stuff that you can make a meal out of that won't cost you a lot of money. So, for example, last night I took two small cans of salmon, and I had some. And I took one egg and a half an onion. I sauteed the onion. I scrambled the egg. I scrambled the egg not the way I usually scramble eggs. I just put the egg in the pot and stirred it around, in the pan with butter and stirred it around. Usually I do a different type of egg, but this is the kind of egg you would do for what they call shrimp fried rice, whatever, but you're going to do salmon or tuna fried rice or whatever, and you're going to put the rice in and the salmon and the onion. You're going to season it, and guess what? You've got a meal that can feed at least 6 or 7 people. I did it with one cup of rice because it was just me and my son here. But, you know, I used to do that with my children, and they were always able to come back for more. So you want to get simple foods. We're not doing the gourmet stuff. This is not gourmet time. This is not time you're doing filet mignon or whatever, all that fancy stuff. No, you just want food that will keep your body nourished and full so that you can continue to survive. This is survival time. This is survival time. If you're going to go to the store, make sure that when you bring your groceries in, you wipe them down before you put them in your cabinets. doorknobs, clean, wash them down, banisters, all those things in your house that other people are touching. And you shouldn't have anybody coming over that's not family, okay? Y'all shouldn't be visiting people. But just around your house, make sure you keep it sanitized. Wipe down your doorknobs, your light switches, and things like that, so you don't pass on germs to other people. Take your shoes off when you come in the house. You know, that was one of the things Muslims do, take off your shoes. You don't walk around our house with your shoes on because you don't know what you're bringing in to your house. So the other day I came home from school, and somehow
I had gum on the back of my pants leg, and I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? Where did this come from? I had no idea. But if you have to get gum off of your pants leg, just a tip, you get ice. You ice it, and then you scrape it off with something, and then you wash it, okay? Wash it very thoroughly, because if somebody spit gum out, God knows what that was. But anyway, make sure you wipe your shoes down, wipe down whatever you're bringing in your house, eat well. And if you're tired, go to sleep. Go to sleep. You don't have anywhere to be. Go to sleep, people. Go to sleep. Because your body is trying to heal itself. It will heal itself. It can fight against whatever's out here. And speaking of healing, have you all noticed that the earth is healing itself? Oh, wow. All the pollution over China is gone. In Venice, the water canals are clean again. Oh, the ocean. See, I have my students were lamenting because they heard, oh, my gosh, the earth is. No. The earth's going to be fine. The earth been here for 78 trillion years. It's us. They might not make it, but the earth is going to heal itself. And I gave them this example. Have you ever seen where a building has been torn down? And the lot is there, and nobody's touched it within about 6 months to a year. What you got? You got trees, grass. The earth will heal itself. So we need to use this time to heal ourselves. Get yourselves together. Think, you know, whatever relationships that you have that have fallen apart between you and your siblings, hey, go talk to each other. Apologize, whatever it is, get rid of it, talk it out, and know that this is what we all have. And think about what it would be like if some of these people don't make it. So whatever differences you have, settle them, talk to each other, and don't forget to pray. Pray when you wake up in the morning. I always tell my students the first thing you do when you open your eyes is thank the God that you made it through. I'm here, and so I didn't have to wake up. I'm here. Okay, thank him for waking you up. And then for us older people, you know, those of us who are Muslims and those who call ourselves Christians and whatnot, pray that you haven't become devil or hypocrite overnight and that you're not here to cause harm to other people, that you're here to spread love and understanding and make this a better place. It's going to take you and me, right? That's what the song says. Wake up. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We got to change it. We got to change all the stuff around us. And we can do that. We're just going to take one step at a time, and we're going to keep our faith, and we're going to enjoy this. You know, like I said, you know, I admired the fact that our people, Debbie Allen's giving a free dance class on Instagram on Wednesdays. Just see where the good stuff is. Don't dwell on the darkness. Follow the light. Follow the light. Follow the light that everybody's trying to exhibit. All right, so I thank you all for listening. I hope that something I said has helped you. Remember, we got to wake up. We got to love each other, and we got to tap into that spirit that has allowed us, that God spirit that has allowed us to survive all these years on this side of the ocean. May Allah bless all of you. I thank you for listening. Again, my name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and have a blessed evening. Assalamu alaikum.